start your day the two way, Rabbi Dudi Rosenberg.
Yeah. Last Magistri mentioned the Machel Ben Derisui, so I remember a word from the Pnei Menachem used to say, how come this bandit merited a place so prominent within the Gemur that he became suddenly like a synonym with timekeeping? The truth of it is because this Derisui, apparently he was a highwayman who was in such a rush, and he appreciated the value of time. And even if he's a vagabond and a bandit, but somebody who's got the message that he teaches us the value of time deserves a prominent place even in Shulchan Aruch. In 2 days' time, on Tuesday, the 9th of Shvat, 76 years ago, the Belzeruv, Rab Aaron, Zeicher Tzadik, V'kudosh Levruche, reached the shores of Haifa in Eretz Yisrael in his legendary and dramatic escape from the inferno in Poland and Hungary. Additionally, on Tuesday, many of us have the custom to recite Parshas Hamon, which is a skille from Rabbi Mendel Rimeneve, for Panusa. Permit me to cover these two topics in the time allocated. When the Belzeruv Reb Aaron came as a survivor to Eretz Yisrael, his first Shabbos was spent in Haifa, and it was Parshas Beshalach. The ambivalence of the occasion was tangible. On one hand, a giant in Torah and Chassidus escaped the talons of the Nazi beast. But on the other hand, the carnage of his Chassidus and Polish Jewry was still ongoing, as the year was 1944. Needless to say, when he entered his tish on Friday night, he was welcomed by a few broken refugees, representing a shadow of the former glory and majesty that was pre-war Belz. When their memories were triggered of what was and what is, there was an avalanche of tears. However, this was not in keeping with the spirit of Shabbos. The Rebbe rose to the occasion with the following words of comfort. The Pusik says, Oz Yushir Moshe. The Gemara Sanhedrin notes, Shor Loinema. Elu Yushir Mikan Letchias HaMaisim Min HaTorah. The word Yushir connotes the future. Not Moshe sang, rather Moshe will sing one day in the future. One day when we merit redemption. The Pusik also says, Vachamushim Uli Bnei Yisrael Mai Eretz Mitzroim. The Yidden left Egypt armed with weapons. But Vachamushim also means only one-fifth emerged, because four-fifths, that means 80% of Klal Yisrael perished in Mitzrayim during Makas Choshech. How could they possibly sing Shire and rejoice when surrounded by orphans, almunas, Echod Lu'ir, Shnaim Lemishpuche? From which fountains of inner strength would they take the resolve to go on? Said the Belzeruv, Mikan, Remez Letchias HaMaisim, pointing towards those around him, bereft of their loved ones and looking towards him for a glimmer of hope, he said, Mikan, from here that we are still keeping Shabbos, making Kiddush, loyal to the Rebbeinu Shloilem and his mitzvahs, and believe in the ultimate redemption of Tchiyas HaMaisim, from here we find a place to sing and rejoice in hope and unstinting belief and trust in the future, that those Kedoshim will one day rise from the dust and the ashes. It is 75 years since the liberation of Auschwitz, and 3,332 years since the liberation from Mitzrayim. And we're still here. In this room, learning the same Torah, keeping the same 613 mitzvahs, is this not testimony? Shor loy nema, elu yushir. We call it Shabbos Shira. How appropriate, in reflection of the above, in the world of musical arrangements, a composer writes a score for so many different and diverse instruments in the orchestra. Were one to read the bass line on its own, to play the kettle drums as a solo, the violin, viola, cello, each independently, trumpets, trombones, tuba and French horns playing their counterparts, each individual instrument would sound absolutely strange and nonsensical when, however, the conductor raises his baton and the strings begin, followed by the woodwinds, highlighted by the brass and enhanced by the percussion. The sound is complete. It is symphonic. It is magnificent. When Yidden emerged from the bloodbaths of Mitzrayim, they were riddled with questions, as were the survivors of Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, Treblinka, and countless other camps. Why did this happen to us? Why did we deserve this? Why were 1 million innocent children hunted like animals because of their race? Many powerful questions. Then, at the Yam Suf, the Rebbeinu Shloilem gifted them with the revelation of prophecy. Ruasu shifchu al hayam, ma shelo iru yecheskel ben buzi. One day, hopefully very soon, when the Rebbeinu Shloilem proclaims, Ani Hashem, all the plaguing questions will be answered. All the gnawing doubts will be clarified. The baton will be raised, and the veils of doubt too. The orchestra will integrate all the cacophony into a glorious and uplifting shir. From here we go on to the end of the Seder, towards it. Hineni mamti luchem lechem min hashmayim. The Torah introduces the magical concept of lechem min hashmayim, which we know as mon. So we have questions. One, what was the purpose of this miracle? Two, why did the Rebbeinu Shloilem specifically bring mon? But the reason cited in the Torah is brought in Parshas Beshalach, Leman anaseni hayeilech besoirusi im loy, so that the Eibishter can test the Jewish nation. Will they follow in my laws or not? Note that the word Torah is synonymous with mon already at this stage, as the Sepona notes. Rashi explains. Hayelech beserusi mean two things. Im yishmeru mitzvois hatluyois boy. Shelo yosuru mimenu v'lo yetsu b'shabbos lilkot. That they will adhere to the mitzvahs associated with the mon. By one, not leaving any remnants overnight, and two, not going out to search for the mon on Shabbos. But the Rashbam brings the famous phenomenon of mon, being a key to emunah, whereby the Yidden will raise their eyes towards heaven in total dependence for their sustenance. Subsequently, they will believe and follow Hashem's statutes. Let us elucidate on the association between mon and emunah. The Kli Yukar expounds more on the relevance of mon to emunah. Someone who has passed besaloi and yet questions, what will I eat tomorrow? Chazal referred to him as miketane emunah. A further proof of a bal emunah is avoiding the search of mon on Shabbos, confident that whatever was collected on Friday will suffice for the entire Shabbos. Furthermore, says the Kli Yukar, a person lacking in emunah is forever consumed with making more and more money. To quote one of the wealthiest men in modern history, John D. Rockefeller, who was worth in current terms $400 billion. When he was asked in an interview, how much money is enough, Mr. Rockefeller? His famous reply was, just a little bit more. Yesh lemune, with a stress on the loy, he made it, and it's consequently his, then roitze musayim, his insatiability. So is it mon he, the symbol of trust, or money, the belief in the almighty dollar? In God we trust, and everyone else pays cash. Der Welt sucht, as Geld is nicht alles. Sie do checks, sie do bonds, sie do credit cards. In Yiddish is a saying, Geld is nicht alles, ob es beruhigt die Nerven. Money lulls one into a false, superficial sense of security. Let us contemplate what it means to open an empty fridge, a cupboard in the larder, void of any food whatsoever. This is what the Yid faced in the Midbar every evening. No midnight snacks, nothing, until the next day. After the war, a story is recorded of several ladies sitting in a restaurant in Antwerp. All of them war survivors. The waiter came to clear the table at the end of the meal. As the bread basket was about to be removed, one lady beckoned the waiter to leave it. She explained to him that there was a comforting and therapeutic value just to see bread on the table, even though she wasn't going to eat it. The Yidden who left Mitzrayim were survivors too. The complete absence of food per se in their tents and their vicinity was a significant nisoyon. My father, Lev Shulam, recalled his earliest memories in Poland as a very young child. He was handed a piece of bread by his mother for breakfast. He was still hungry and asked her if he could have another piece. He could only recall the view of her silent silhouette in a shadowed kitchen, with tears rolling down her cheek. Instinctively, he realized he had said something wrong. She didn't have another piece to give him. And he tried to rectify this by saying, "Mama, ich bin schon nicht hungrig. I'm not hungry anymore." Vayanchu vayarivechu vayachilchu esamon. Perhaps it's better to go hungry than to face humiliation. Pusik says that. I remember from my Zayde, he used to say that in the times when Yidden were in the tents with the mon, according to the level of their Yerushalayim and their Shmiras HaMitzvahs, the mon would be the telltale sign. And the man who had it regularly delivered to his doorstep, all of a sudden found it a distance from his tent. And now he's faced with a dilemma. He knows why that mon didn't come right up to the doorstep. And he says to his wife, "You know, Yente, Efshe, today it's a Eitze that we make Tanas Shaini V'Chamishi." So she says, "Why?" He says, "Well, you saw the mon didn't come here. Now you know what's going to happen. I'm going to walk through the camps, tent after tent, to find my portion of mon, and I'm going to have the onslaught of questions. Oh, Yankee, was geschehen? What did you do wrong? Du bist nicht aufgestanden zum Zart zum Davenen. Hast du nicht gelernt und darf ich mich haben? And then I'll be subject to the answers, one after the other. You know what? Let's leave it today. Hand fastman. Today, we're not eating. Vayanchu. Et gepanikt. He subjected you to torment. Vayarivechu and to hunger. Why? Vayachilchu esamon. Because he gave you to eat the mon, which was a telltale, and told you exactly, and everyone else, where your spiritual place was on the ladder." Even the Chofetz Chaim used to say that the mon had a time, we know, if nobody thought about it, katzapiches bedvash, but they asked the Chofetz Chaim, apparently, what taste did the mon have if a person didn't think of all the delicious foods that went with it? And he said, "As metracht nish, hot kan tam nish. If you don't think, it ain't got any taste." Which is a play on words. The Kli Yukar takes a different slant with regards to mon and Torah. We mentioned hayelech beserus yimloi. There are two impediments that prevent a person from acquiring Torah. One and one external. Internally, he is affected by good, rich, succulent, tasty, and sumptuous food. Heavy ribsteaks and chips are not synonymous with the purity and loftiness of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu exemplifies the polar opposite. In order to receive the Torah, he says, "Lechem lo yuchalti, maim lo yishusisi." Externally, the pursuit of panusa impedes a person from learning Torah. As we all know, 9 to 5, or 7 to 11, ala michyo, viala kalkulu, the mon, like our British milkman, was dropped to the doorstep every day. Not a moment was wasted in the pursuit of panusa. It's there, on your doorstep. The Sfasemes says that the purpose of the mon was to refine the Yidden in preparation for Kabbalas HaTorah. Eating the mon made Yidden like Maluchim. Tehillim describes Lechem Abirim, and the Gemura in Yuma calls it Lechem Abirim Shemelachai Hashurais Oichlim. Also, Torah is heavenly, and mon is also heavenly. Eating it
was a process of spiritual refinement, a prerequisite to Kabbalas HaTorah. The Mechilta adds, Lo nitnu Torah elo lo'ochlei hamon. The Torah was given to the people and the nation that consumed the mon. Why? The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, we know. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. He brought the Torah from Shemaim, from the heaven to the ground. Atem re'isem, ki min ha-shumayim dibarti imuchem. And the mon, too, came from the heaven to the ground. Hineni mamti luchem lechem min ha-shumayim. Furthermore, the Be'er was b'schis Miriam. The Anane HaKuvoit were b'schis Aharon. But the mon was b'schis Moshe. As Torah and mon are synonymous, because Moshe symbolizes Torah. The mon was all toiv. It had no ra. There was no psoiles. Consequently, it was entirely absorbed into the body. The Torah too is also toiv. Ki lekach toiv nusati luchem. Toirusi al tazoivi. Spiritual food reaches the mind. Neshumo shebemoichi, where Torah is learned. Therefore, the mon was Oime la Gilgoyles. So the Sfasema says this was food apportioned to the head. From here we go to something slightly different. What is the association of Mon and the Chet of Udom Horishon? The Arizal says that all of Gulas Mitzrayim and the entire Geula ultimately was to give a tikkun to the chet of Udom HaRishon. The climax of the Geula was, of course, Kabbalas HaTorah. The level that the Yidden reached at this point was Posku Zohamoson, the poison injected by the Nuchash HaKadmoini had disappeared. The mon, as Lechem Abirim, had so refined them in preparation for this state of purity. But the heavenly bread did not come through the meat of earth, where wheat is normally grown. Rather, it came straight min ha-shumayim. Hineni mamti luchem lechem min ha-shumayim. And this is an antidote to the chet hanuchosh, associated with death through earth. Ki mei ufo atu ve'el ufo tushiv. Arur adumo bavirechu. All the snake eats tastes of earth. And the snake brought man back to earth through the medium of death. The mon has no association with earth. There was even a shichvas hatal beneath it to protect it from touching the earth. The Heilige Rebbe Rabbeinu von Pschischre famously questions, what was the snake's curse? It seems that it was really a blessing. After all, he's got food wherever he goes. His answer was, the Rebbein Shlolem Kavyuchel is giving the message to the snake. Fress! Ich will dich nicht hören. Eat, have, plenty, food, wherever you go. Never will you be needy. But don't talk to me, I don't want to hear you. So the ultimate curse is when the Eibishter doesn't want to hear your prayer. But the man was the antithesis to this. Daily, the Eibishter, through the medium of man, facilitated the dependence of the Eden and desired their prayers, the prayers of his children, daily, regularly. There's a famous medrash which in 2020 would be described as sending a boy to yeshiva abroad. And you give him cash, and of course you've got an opportunity when another friend is going to Etzisul, whatever, you send him a few pounds here, there. You get the phone call. Hi daddy, how's everything? Yeah. Oh, darfst du Geld? Yeah. You give him a credit card, that's the last you'll hear of him. Because, after all, he needs to come to his father, and we also call out every single day, Burech Ulaini. So, the main theme and message for us of the Mon is intrinsically Bituchon. Paul Reichman of Canada was interviewed by Time magazine many years ago. The interviewer asks him, Mr. Reichman, what is the secret to your success? Reb Moshe's response explained to the interviewer the concept, the Jewish concept of mazel, which was another way of saying siyata deshmaya. Divine assistance, he called it. Said Mr. Reichman, it's 99% mazel and 1% acumen. And he added, I would gladly substitute that 1% for mazel too. The Noam Elimelech writes, Hine nimamti lochem lechem en ashmaim, as the Pusik says, mamtir is as moto, rain. We take for granted, especially here in Manchester. Yeah? But as the mon was a profound miracle, so is panusa. If we believe that we control our income, then we have lost the plot. And the hashpur too. Therefore, it was v'yotzu hu'om, when they stepped out of the domain of recognition that every day it's a miracle, then you have to look for it again fresh. They would have to slog on a daily basis on their own steam. If you work harder, you'll earn more money. So the fallacy goes. Says the Be'er Maim Chaim, V'loi hedif hamarbe v'hamamet. The message of the mon was, it makes absolutely no difference to your income. If you're a workaholic, and you're behind the desk at 7, and you leave at 11, because hamamet loi hechsir. The person who worked less did not earn less. No one loses out by minimal hishtadlus. If you want to know how much hishtadlus is, consult your rabbi. Or perhaps consult your inner self. There is no mitzvah to fulfill the curse of Bezeyas Apechu Toichal Lechem Lemahadrin Min HaMahadrin. We could all be on the train to work. It's Sunday today, but on an average Torah day, Torah way, to work right now. But we choose to put our Tzitzenes Hamon next to the Ure, and to start our day the Torah way, and to pass the Nisoyoin of Hayelech Besoirusi Imloy. So on Tuesday, if we follow the Binyan,
of Reb Mendel of Rimenev, of reciting Parshas Hamon, Tuesday, Parshas B'Shalach, as a skillet to Panusa, perhaps we will be able to reflect about that mon in greater depth. So to recap and to summarize, we spoke about the story of the Belzeruv, and we said, Mikan Trias HaMaisim in HaTorah, that from this place where he saw the broken souls looking towards him for a glimmer of hope, and they're still keeping Shabbos, still keeping 613 mitzvahs, there is formidably a belief that there will be, from those dust and ashes, a re-emergence, and the Rebbein Shtoylem will bring Trias HaMaisim, and we see that in HaTorah. We explored the understanding that Shira is a song that overflows from clarity of Hashkucha Prutis, and is illustrated through the parable of the orchestra, where every instrument has a nonsensical meaning, but integrated together forms a powerful and profound symphony. We spoke about Mon and the Torah, Hayelech B'Seirusi Imloi. We spoke about Mon and Emunah, Kliyuka. Mon and purification in preparation prior to Matan Torah. We mentioned the Sfas Emes, who explained that this was Oymela Gilgoyles, that this was food which was for the mind, because Shana Shumu Shabamoichi. And we mentioned the Lechem Abirem. This was the food given to the Heilige Maluchem, which promotes prayer and dependency on the Eibishter. And finally, we mentioned Mon, synonymous with Chet Udem Harishon, because the Mon clearly bypassed the medium of earth. May we merit remembering constantly the source of our sustenance, and we should be zeuche to the Brucha in this week's Sedra, Kol amachlo ashe samti b'mitzrayim, loy usim ulechu, ki ani Hashem roif echo. Thank you. Yeah.